We need to find our own way home. Help us to turn back now. We're so lost here on our own. We need to turn back now.
We're going to do story time tonight, which is why I brought a chair instead of the normal standing with the music stand, because we're gonna do the whole story of Jonah tonight, and I love this story so much. When we decided on the theme of metanoia for Lent, I made a long list of stories and verses in scripture that reflected the repent, a big list that everybody on staff could choose from. I was like, here's all the things I think of. If you think of something else, choose that one. Everybody's kind of been choosing one. But because I made the list, I claimed my favorite first, which is Jonah. I chose Jonah. I love Jonah. I find him to be maybe the most relatable character in all of scripture. And you are gonna just have to bear with me tonight as I totally nerd out because I love him so much. So by a show of hands real quick, how many of you think you already know the story of Jonah, right? Yeah, so what do we know about it? Thank you. There's a whale. Lots of mumbles. There's a whale. Yes. Jonah. What happens with the whale and Jonah? Yes. A whale swallows Jonah, or big fish, if you want the direct translation. It's fine. Doesn't matter. But there is pretty much scholarly agreement that this story is allegorical, not historical. Gasp. I know. But that makes reading it even more fun. We get to, as the listener, as the hearer, as the reader, we get to determine what we can learn about God and ourselves through this story. So tonight I'm going to read through it. I'm going to pause here and there. Maybe you can join me in my total love for Jonah and why he is the way he is. This story is sarcastic and funny and so great. So you have to put aside what you think you might know. Put aside that you think, oh, the Bible's so boring. Put aside all that aside. It is not. This is so funny. The story is great. Imagine it as an action adventure fantasy movie instead. And I am just narrating the scenes. Are you ready? Thank you. Are you ready? Okay, that's much better. Thank you. Okay, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. It's already funny, you guys. How many times did it say he was running away from the presence of the Lord? Yeah, already. You've already heard it twice. So Nick's got a little map for you. I just want to show you. He's in Joppa. He's supposed to go to Nineveh. Look where Tarshish is. That's just funny. That's just objectively funny. He's supposed to go just a little ways away. He goes almost as far away as you can possibly go from where he's supposed to go. This is, again, already funny. Jonah wants to escape God. That in itself, hilarious, but okay, we'll go with Jonah, right? Okay, we'll go with you. And it's important to note that Jonah wants to run away. You might wonder why. Why does Jonah want to run away? Well, like most stories, context is everything. Ninevites, Israelites, they don't get along. They don't want to hang out. They don't want to be around each other. God asks Jonah to go give a message to the Ninevites, and he says, hard pass, no thank you, and he runs, okay? And he runs very far. It's just funny. It's funny. Continuing on, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea, the ship threatened to break up. The mariners were afraid, and each cried to their God. Jonah was asleep in the hold of the ship. They went to wake him up and said, why has this calamity come upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you from? Jonah said, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were even more afraid and said to him, what have you done? For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Obviously, he told us twice. We're going to hear it. They're going to hear it a couple times too. And they said, well, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Because then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me this great storm has come upon you. They tried everything else. Y'all, if you read this, I'm skipping sections so that we don't have to read the whole thing, but they tried everything else to not have to do this, but eventually they were like, okay, God, we're gonna throw him in, but please don't punish us for doing this. He told us to, all right? So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. It worked. And then the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Again, hilarious. Yo, this is such a funny story. So funny. Jonah is in the belly of a fish. What does he do there? Well, honestly, the first 2 days, we don't really know. But I like to assume it's a lot of why me, interspersed with some swear words. It seems to fit with this kind of Jonah. We already know a little bit about him. But at the end of 3 days, Jonah collects himself, and he prays this prayer of repentance and thanksgiving. He is very dramatic about it. But it ends with, it's a long prayer, all of chapter 2 in Jonah is this prayer, but it ends with these three verses. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you, O God, in your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Just imagine him with like, that's what I picture. And with that, that's how chapter 2 ends. It ends with the line, and with that, the fish threw him up on dry land. Gross. It's just gross. Again, still very funny. We're still hilarious. So the fish pukes him up on dry land, and you can almost hear God say, all right, let's try this again, shall we? So chapter 3 of Jonah starts with the exact same lines as the start of chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. That's just funny. It's just funny. He finally did it. Turns out he did learn something in the belly of that fish. So off he goes. Now, Nineveh was a very large city, 3 days' walk across. Interesting detail. Thanks, Jonah. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. So we know about halfway into the center of the city. And he gets there and he cries out, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's all he says. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on a sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with the sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. And then he made a proclamation to all of Nineveh, this great city. He said, by the decree of the king, no human or animal, no herd or flock shall eat anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. And all humans and animals shall be covered with a sackcloth. Can you imagine like cows with like a, it's funny. They're putting clothes on animals. It's all funny. And they shall all cry mightily to God, and they will turn from their evil ways and the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. May he turn from his fierce anger so we do not perish. This is all the proclamation of the king. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity God had said they would bring upon them. So God did not do it. Great. Now this is, everybody, truly where most children's Bibles, most stories, when you hear about the story, this is where it stops. This is usually where it stops. It's not a bad place to stop, honestly, really good. Grace to the Ninevites after they fast and pray and change their ways. The Ninevites prove that people can change, right? And in doing so, their changes change God's mind. What a great story. But y'all, there is a fourth chapter in Jonah, and it is my favorite. Because Jonah, again, most relatable person ever here. So just to give you a quick recap, remember, he's preached to his enemies, the people he hates the most, that they are going to be destroyed because of their evil ways. And they do a communal repentance. A whole city does metanoia together. And God relents and does not bring calamity on them. And this is what happens next. You ready? But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. Again, hilarious, you guys. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, because I knew you were gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Again, hilarious. You guys, Jonah's so dramatic. I love him so much. He says, "I knew it, God." Wait, first of all, how many of you have heard these verses not in sarcasm tone, right? How many of you have heard that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love? You hear this so beautiful. It's written in calligraphy on the walls of living rooms, right? No, this is sarcasm. "I knew it, God. I knew you were going to do this. I didn't want to come here and tell them you were going to destroy them because I knew you wouldn't do it. You are gracious and merciful. You are abounding in steadfast love. I knew it. Come on. This is the worst." Now, listen, I like to poke fun at Jonah. You know I'm already up here just making fun of him. But isn't he basically all of us at this moment? If God told you that God was going to smite your worst enemy, wouldn't you be pretty fired up about it? I mean, really? Oh, how's this? Okay. If God said, "Go to Russia and tell Putin he has 3 days, wouldn't part of you be like, "Yes," right? Yes, right? Let's be honest. And so when God relents and your worst enemy, the person you dislike the most, receives what you think is absolutely unwarranted, unmerited grace, how might you respond? I mean, maybe not the dramatic speech of Jonah, but somewhere in your gut, maybe a stirring of frustration. "Oh, I knew it. I just knew you were going to do this, God. I just knew it. Come on." And the Lord said, "Jonah, is it right for you to be angry?" It's a great question, God. Great question. You guys, so funny. This story is so funny. "Then Jonah went out of the city and he sat down east of the city and he made a booth for himself there and he sat under it just waiting to see what would become of Nineveh." He's thinking, maybe, just maybe, maybe there'll be still a chance I can watch it burn, right? Maybe, just maybe. So I'm going to go sit and watch, see what God does. "So the Lord appointed a bush, and he made it come up over Jonah to give him shade to save him from his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it died. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die. He said, again, it is better for me to die than to live." Again, so dramatic. He's so dramatic. "And God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this bush?" Again, great question, God. Great question. And it sounds familiar, right? I wonder what the lesson for Jonah might be here. "And Jonah said, yes, God, I am angry enough to die." That's what he says. He just doubles down, has not caught the hint. He's not caught the lesson yet. He just doubles down. "Yes, I'm angry enough to die about this bush." "And the Lord said, Jonah, you were concerned about the bush for which you did not labor, for which you did not grow. It came into being in a night, and it perished in a night. Should I not be more concerned about Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Mic drop. Why don't we read this great, this is the end. That's the end of Jonah. That we just read the whole book of Jonah, you guys, just right now. That's the end of Jonah right there. "Should I not be more concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the right from their left, and also many animals?" P.S. That's God telling us that when we die, our animals will be with us because God saves the animals there as well. It's right here. It's here. Daisy's good. You're good. You're good. Why don't we read past chapter 3? Chapter 4 is so great. This whole story, all of the chapters of Jonah, our metanoia. But chapter 4 maybe feels just a little too real. We'd much rather stop with God relenting and everybody being happy. The whole story again, metanoia. Jonah running away from God's request, then turning back, changing his mind. The Ninevites hearing Jonah's word and repenting, literally turning away from their sinful ways. In fact, in this story, the Ninevites, who are, again, the enemies of the Israelites, they are who listeners would truly expect, the listeners of this story would truly expect the least repentance from. They've already decided they're bad, we don't like them, they're not going to do the right thing. They do it best. They do metanoia better than anybody else in this story. The Ninevites are the metanoia masters. Who knew? And again, I've obviously, if this is not made clear yet, it's made clear right now, I obviously think the best part of the story is Jonah learning nothing from his time in the fish. It kind of seems a little even like he apologized and asked for forgiveness in that moment to get out of the fish instead of actually meaning it, right? Because he just went right back to his old ways. And that is why I love this story. Jonah is me. Right? Stars, they're just like us. Jonah's just like us. Jonah is just like us. He has to learn over and over and over and over again about the grace and love of God. God keeps reminding Jonah who God is every time, yet again, and again. So this story, this comedy, adventure, fantasy story, tells us something about God and about us as well. It tells us that metanoia is not a one-time thing. Thank goodness. It tells us that God won't ever stop reminding us who God is. Thank goodness. And finally, it tells us that there is always more grace. Always more grace to be found and experienced. Thank goodness. Amen. Find our own way home. Help us to turn.